Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Jesus, really?
The Desperate House Switches. I'm Dorian Wallace, joined by my lovely
sister. Star. Yeah, I already got it. Anyway, we are back. Welcome to the show. There has been a lot of shit going on. Oh, wait, I forgot to disclaim. Let me disclaim. I curse a lot. Deal with it. Okay, on to our sponsors. Desperate House Switches is brought to you by The Angry Cauldron at www.theangrycauldron.com. They have fine bath goods, candles, incense, private readings, international shipping for all of your pagan needs. And also brought to you by, yes, she has reopened. Yes, a modern miracle has occurred. Yes, the amazing Dorothy Morrison is back online with her shop, www.wickedwitchstudios.com, for all of your magical spell needs and other needs. So, anyway, welcome to fucking February, where apparently in the South it is okay to be 82 degrees while we're in winter. Holy shit. What the hell happened? And tomorrow it's going to be in the 50s. I'm like, really? Really? This isn't pneumonia weather, is it?
I don't know. Maybe it'll kill off all the bugs that decided, ooh, it's warm. We got to invade now.
Yeah, see, I agree with you on that. I got to tell you, though, I don't think we've had enough. It's not been a long enough warm snap, as it were, for that to occur. Normally, you've got to have, like, pretty much a frost after three or four hot days so that they all have a chance to wake up and then not wake up again. The problem with that, while it may kill mosquitoes and other creatures, it also kills the bees, which is a fucked up situation. So we actually do not want that to happen. So we have to protect the wildlife, because without the bees, there ain't no food. And if there ain't no food, there ain't no us.
You're right. I was hearkening back to the wasp that was tapping itself on my window this afternoon and was screaming at me, get the fuck out of here!
You had a wasp today? Really?
Yes.
Holy shit.
I was like, oh, you fucker, get out of here. No. No.
Damn.
You know, I mean, if I didn't think it would burn down the house, I'd invest in, you know, hairspray and lighters, but I don't want to burn down the house.
Yeah. Not safe in your hands. I love you to death, but I know you. Hello.
Yeah. I do use hairspray on them, though. You know, because I don't really like Raid. Because, I mean, not that, you know, hairspray is any less full of chemicals, but
true enough. You want to hold those wings nice and tight so they can't fly close enough to sting you. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I totally get it.
Freeze them in place, because when you get the Raid on them, they still come at you. I don't know. That's been my experience. Maybe not other people, but I'm like, no, stick those suckers so they drop like a rock and then step on them.
Yeah, I've never found anything over the counter that actually works on these bastards, because I know, okay, listen, all of my ecologically friendly people, please understand, yes, I respect the wildlife. However, wasps are fuckers and only want to create harm in my world. They hurt and they are dangerous. And some idiot like me, with 9,000 fucking allergies to stings and bites, is a little concerned about such a creature. So, yeah. Oh, I would also like to welcome our new listeners. We got some new listeners this week. Thank you for joining. As you can tell, I am foul-mouthed and don't give a fuck. Because I'm just aggravated with life right now. I have been sick on and off, you know, completely crazy stuff. Had the flu recently. In case anybody noticed that I missed last week's show, I was dragged away to a job. I had all kinds of shit going on. And this flu, I got to tell you, this flu is a killer, literally. And it's dangerous as hell. And when you think you feel just a little tickle in your throat, that is the time to worry. Because within 48 hours, I was flat on my back after having nothing more than a little tickle. So please be mindful. Get your elderberry syrup if you are a non-injection flu shot person. Protect yourselves in every way possible because this flu is sneaky and it is tenacious. It will hang on like, I don't know, like shit on a shoe. It is insane. It's a bad one. I'm just telling you, it's a bad one. And it's killing people here. And it's killing children. I don't know about the rest of the country, but I will tell you, like, something like 40-some-odd people have already died, half of which have been young children. So don't play with this thing. If you feel you're getting sick and you're not recovering, like, from cold symptoms within a couple of days as you normally would, get the appointment to a doctor. I called my doctor when I first started to get sick, and I will tell you, they said, we are booked 2 weeks in advance. We cannot fit you in anywhere. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. So I think I already told this story, but I did drive my happy ass to urgent care in the middle of the night because I just couldn't take, I couldn't take it anymore. I was so miserable, couldn't sleep, and drove myself in a rainstorm. It was cray-cray. It was cray.
Funny.
But it was worth it, though, because the doctor was like, medication you need. And I said, medication I will take because this shit sucks. Oh, yeah. It was nasty, nasty. So, brief thing in the news. I'm not going to say we're sending thoughts and prayers to the victims because that doesn't do a fucking thing. We are sad for what happened in Florida, the school shooting. We're sad every time this shit happens, and I'm getting very sick of this shit happening. And, of course, Congress is owned by the NRA, so we are not going to see any kind of help from those fucking people. So I will say what I always say, please fucking vote, and please fucking vote these assholes out. You have your shot in November. It's time to change what's happening in this country because we are reverting back to fucking cave people. It is very sad. It is very scary. And this is not what we're supposed to be about. So let's get our collective shit together. And let's agree on a fucking candidate. And if you don't agree on the candidate, fucking vote for that person anyway if they fit along somewhat more of your ideological makeup than their opponent. And that's all I'll say on that. Moving right along. So, in gossip today, I have to talk about this. I know it's so fucking cheesy. But you remember when Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston were married? You remember that, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a long time ago. I thought they sucked because I couldn't stand her. I still can't stand her, but that's okay. I just think she's very disingenuous. Yeah, she doesn't come across to me as a real person. I can't stand her. But anyway,
okay.
that doesn't matter. She got wronged in the whole Angelina Jolie situation. Well, it was announced finally, although the rumors have been swirling for months, that she and Justin Theroux, or in our house, Justin Theroux, because that's how it's fucking spelled, are on the outs, and today they announced that they're breaking up. They actually made the decision to split up at the end of last year. People don't remember. That's only like 6 fucking weeks ago. But I have the feeling we're going to see some kind of an attempt at a reconciliation between Brad and Jennifer.
Hmm.
There you go. It could happen. A lot of people say no. Some people say, yeah, it could be. I'm saying it could be. I'm pretty excited about that just to see what happens because human shit. Shut that fucking kid up. Anyway. Sorry. I've got a child. There's a child screaming outside my fucking door. How annoying. Put a leash on your brat. Anyway. I'm so sorry. I am just feeling fired up and sassy ass tonight. I just can't help myself. But
yeah.
Y'all love me, so you'll forgive me. Anyway, so I'm interested in seeing that shit go down because I'm fucking sick about talking about Trump. Trump is just a nauseating topic. You will be very proud of me, by the way.
I'm always proud of you.
No. Since the Olympics are on, I have successfully avoided the news 5 out of 7 nights.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's very rare, and the only thing that could drag me away from MSNBC and other news sources is the Olympics, and the Olympics are fun. Oh, I got to tell you my TV story. Oh, shit.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Before I do that, if anybody has, I am working a spell right now for change. And I'm talking about changing in your life, certain circumstances. So if anybody needs to be added to that, the cleansing spell is done. This would be the time to get in on the changing circumstances spell. I will only work for shit that is to your personal benefit, having nothing to do with other people. So, if you have a spell for, if you need rather spell work for changing your schedule or getting a promotion or things of a business type nature, drop me a little note on our show page. Send a message to the show page is what I should have said. That's what I meant. So if you have like a schedule thing or a promotion thing that you are currently looking at having happen, let me know and I will add you because tomorrow night, I may even start it tonight. I was thinking about starting it tonight. So if you want in on that spell, let me know, and I will work some shit in with the other people I'm already doing spells for. So, yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't have a Facebook page, you can always email us at desperatehousewitches@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter, which is, I know I had to shorten it. Now I have to look it up. I believe it is at capital D, capital H, capital W, capital S, show. H-O-W. So.
Huh?
Find
say that shit again.
It's at, oh, God, no. Made me lose my train of thought.
Because
it's
I don't remember it, Dave.
It's at DHW Show.
Oh, on Twitter.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and we're also on YouTube. Not video,
yes.
Just audio. Tell people where to go.
Oh, I would have to look that up. I'll put it on the show page in a little bit.
It'll be on the show page, y'all. Anyway, if you are not live listening right now, and it's Monday or Sunday or whatever, because I think I'm going to start this one tonight. Do not fret. I am doing pretty much monthly spells. I'll let you in on it. Just because you missed this one that's starting tonight does not mean you are going to miss everything. You just have to let me know for the next one. I will announce the next spell before I do it. Also, I want to give a shout out to my sister because we are coming up. We are getting ready to celebrate in the next week our 6th anniversary of being on the air.
Yay!
Yay!
6 years.
6 years, babe.
Six is my lucky number.
It's a good number. It means we are not a fly-by-night.
Yeah.
We've been around. We're going to be around. Get used to it. I can't think of a rhyme. I can't think of a good, anthem or rhyme for that. So thank y'all for sticking with us as long as you have. We hope you'll continue to stick with us permanently. And we're happy to have you. Okay, so my TV story. Holy shit.
Yes.
So here's the story. I'm getting older. Y'all know I'm old. I've been telling y'all I'm old. Shit happens. Well, when you get older, your vision starts to go a little bit. And I was sitting at home watching my 32-inch TV, and I said, hey, I'm having trouble reading the subtitles on some of the shit I like to watch. So we went on Saturday to a very popular electronic store. And we walk in, and I'm like, did you measure the TV? And he says, yeah, it's 32 inches. I'm like, are you sure? Because this here 40-inch TV looks about the same size as our 32-inch at home. So he's like, nope, I measured it. I'm telling you I measured it. It is 32 inches. I'm like, okay. This 40-inch TV is looking a hell of a lot like that 32-inch. So salesman comes up and says, hey, what are you looking for? And I said, I'm looking for a TV. And I'm kind of concerned because this 40-inch TV looks to be about the same size as my 32-inch TV. He's like, come with me. Walks me up to the wall. Now, you know when they walk you to the wall, that's where they keep their big shit. Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm standing there and I'm looking. And I'm looking at a 49-inch TV, and I'm like, oh, the 49-inch TV looks pretty good. But sitting right next to it was a 55-inch TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that looks pretty good. But I'm concerned now because, and Sis will remember, I used to have a 50-inch TV, and this thing took up half the room. I mean, it was huge. It was huge. But I
was
like,
awesome.
All excited. I mean, it was at the time. I mean, wow, what a dinosaur that would be right now. But, you know, it was big and clunky. It weighed more than two of us put together. I mean, fucker was heavy. So anyway, I'm looking at the TV, and I'm trying to make a decision, and the guy's like, how big is your car? And I said, well, I'm driving Mini Cooper. And the guy's like, oh, the 49-inch won't even fit in your car. You're going to have to call an Uber. I'm like, call an Uber. Wow, okay. So I'm standing there, and I'm like, you know, I don't know if I want the 49-inch or the 59-inch. I turn around, and I'm like, what do you think? And wouldn't you know it, my guy is in the next aisle. He's already taken out his phone. He's already calling the cab company, and I hear, hi, it's me. Yeah, I'm at Best Buy, and I need somebody who can accommodate a 55-inch TV. So I look at the salesman, and I'm like, I guess that decision's been made. We get the box home, okay, and I'm looking at the box, and I'm looking at the TV, because your perception in a store is very different from your perception in your house. The ceiling is higher, and everything looks a lot smaller because it's a great trick, too. Shit, I didn't even realize that until afterwards. You know, it purposely makes everything look smaller. So I'm looking at the box, and the box is half the size of my fucking living room, and I'm like, I don't know if this is such a hot idea. So we take the thing out of the box. Now, I will tell you, it weighs next to nothing. And I'm like, is there even a TV in here? I mean, they've changed so much. So we take the thing out of the box. From end to end of the box, we are only losing about 4 inches. I'm like, oh my gosh, what the fuck happened, man? I figured 9,000 pounds of packaging. No, just some styrofoam in a plastic bag. I'm like, wow, they really have changed. So anyway, we get the thing out of the box, we get the stand assembled, we get the thing up where the other TV was. And you know, even though this one is much bigger than the last one, well, much bigger, it's 5 inches bigger. Even though the other one, this one is bigger than the last one, you would not believe it actually fits where it's sitting as not an eyesore.
That's
and it's
awesome.
Like watching the Olympics, man, I have never looked at a TV where watching something was so crystal clear. It was like being there. So you have to come over and experience this, because I got one of those new fancy 4K Ultra does everything but suck a dick TVs. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a serious ass. It's got surround sound. It's a smart TV too, which means it's smarter than me right out of the box. I think, wow. It's Wi-Fi enabled. It's Bluetooth enabled. It's crazy. I'm like, everything is Wi-Fi and Bluetooth these days. And I know that that's supposed to be a good thing, but I discovered something this morning, and it kind of brought me back to reality.
Huh.
I have satellite radio in my car, and I was, you know, listening to my morning jams, going, you know, on my way to the place where I work, and all of a sudden, it kept going out. There was some kind of satellite interference this morning, and it was like crazy because it was changing channels on its own, and it kept cutting in and out, and it was very, very strange. And I'm sitting at the stoplight, and it suddenly dawned on me, wow, the whole system could come crashing down at any time. Anything and everything.
Don't do that. Don't tell me that.
Yeah. No, but that's reality, and you got to deal in reality.
Oh,
it was kind of a humbling experience that all this shit is really temporary, and it could go away really easily.
Yeah.
So
without that power grid, you know, it's done. Now, mine does that. Like, because I've got XM. Shout out to Richard Blade and First Wave. Love you guys.
Love First Wave. Was listening to First Wave this morning. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, were you? Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That and the Billy Joel channel. Those are the channels I go to most.
Oh, my God. Can I just be honest for a second?
Absolutely.
Okay. And look, I remember when Billy Joel first fucking started. I remember seeing him on the, oh, my God, you better be old to remember this, the Mike Douglas show.
Yes.
In the 70s. Piano Man, okay? Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, okay? He was very young, still somewhat inexperienced at the time. Yeah, I have heard every song that Billy Joel has ever done 9,000 times. They gave him a station, but they didn't give one to the Rolling Stones. I'm sorry. I would trade Billy Joel for the Rolling Stones in a fucking heartbeat. So if anybody from XM or Sirius is listening, hello, old people are watching you.
actually, last month, I think it was all of December and January, it was the Eagles channel. They switch it out.
I was bored with that shit, too, because I've heard every Eagles song since the fucking beginning. Seriously?
Yeah.
Come on. The Beatles channel is permanent, and you can't give me a Rolling Stone station? Bullshit.
Yeah, they actually extended the Tom Petty radio station.
I love it.
I did too. I mean, it was so awesome to listen to him, to and from dropping Little Man off, and then boom, he was gone. And it was they actually extended it and invited his friends on to tell stories, and it was beautiful. I really liked that.
Yeah. I agree. I'm still enjoying the Petty Station. I love Underground Garage. Every once in a while, if I'm feeling nostalgic, I'll put on Classic Vinyl.
Yes, I love that channel.
Yeah, and Deep Tracks. I like Deep Tracks.
Yeah. See, that's I have because I have my husband's old car, which is fantastic. And it has different categories. You have, I think, 6 lineups of favorite channels. So I've got one for, regular listens. Then I've got one for all the, classics channels. And I think there's one for news radio. There's one for comedy. There's one for hip-hop. It's like I've got...
Come help me set my settings in my car, please.
Sure, absolutely.
I cannot figure out how to do it. Oh my God, I am a mess. Yeah.
Well,
I can't figure it out.
If you're gonna be home Sunday, I'll swing by, if you guys aren't busy, tomorrow I'm going to have to do a lot of running around, what's going on, know what I'm talking about. I don't want to talk about it.
No, I know you're busy. You've got shit to do.
Yeah. Our guest is in the queue though. Would you like to bring her
on? Please.
Awesome. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Mr. Face. Ladies and gentlemen, Star Bustamante.
You guys are just you need more things in your life because
that you're this excited is a little scary. It's a little concerning.
It doesn't take much.
At my age, I'll take any reason to be happy. This is a good reason. How are you?
I've been doing okay. Just, you know, my theme for the day has been I'm trying to get my ducks in a row, and instead what they are doing is running in circles waving scissors. The little fuckers just will not line up. So that's my story.
Wow. I'm sorry. How are the cats doing?
Well, they are currently emulating the same behavior as the ducks. Although they're quieter. They don't do all that quacking, you know, so that's good. Unfortunately, you know, do things like climb screens and holler periodically, and they have fights with their tails. They can't win, apparently.
Yeah. When I saw your post about community, and I was thinking, wow, that's a really great topic. And it's interesting because last time Heather Green was on, we were talking about community and how to build community. And I find that we have great ideas and not great follow through, we being just people in general. But I seem to feel like community is where you can find like-minded people, and sometimes that's very difficult to find. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering what you do in circumstances where people are kind of isolated. How do you get them out of their shell? How do you get them involved? Sometimes it's a question of how do you even find them, you know, and let them know that you're there.
Well, I think that's a really good question. You know, I think in a lot of ways the internet has both been really great for that, and also has made people even more isolated in some regard.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, you can hop online and find all kinds of groups and people, and you know, but you don't really know them, and it's not quite the same. You know, I mean, I don't know that I would ever do any kind of serious magical thing online with a bunch of people that I had never met in person.
I wonder about that.
Well, I think it can be hard to just meet people in even in your own neighborhood, although there's a really cool app that has been making making the rounds last year or so. It's called Nextdoor, and it connects people in specific geographical locations. It's a little bit of everything. I mean, if you have something you want to sell, there's a place to post for that. If there's some concern in your immediate neighborhood, like a loose dog or a bear or weird people or, you know, whatever, you know, that stuff gets posted. And then there are other sections for, like, you know, if you want to do home improvements, you know, or if you're somebody that does home improvement, you know, it's kind of got this like marketplace feel to it, but it's also got like kind of some neighborhood watch feel to it. And so I think that can be kind of a way to, you know, that kind of opens the door a little bit to kind of knowing who the people are that live around you.
Right.
And then you can say, hey, let's have a meeting or let's have coffee. But I mean, I think otherwise, if you're in a, you know, the more rural your community is, I mean, most people that live in rural communities and have for a while, they probably know everybody that lives within, you know, 5 square miles of them.
Right.
Because that's just kind of how it works. Now, whether or not any of those people are people you really want to have coffee with, although, I mean, having grown up in Southern Indiana, and
yeah.
kind of it was suburban, but also surrounded by lots of farmland. You know, used to be, and I don't know anymore because I haven't lived in the Midwest in 30 years. But as a rule, Midwesterners were generally pretty helpful kind of folks. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
mostly interested in, you know, they were interested in doing their work, and, you know, as long as you weren't doing anything that was going to fuck that up, they were pretty willing to lend a hand or what have you. I mean, other parts of the country, I mean, I think it can be hard. It can be hard to, it can be hard to connect with people, but it's also, I think there is a wariness with everybody at this point
yeah.
of what is it safe to say? You know, I mean,
yeah.
what are the things we can safely talk about and skirt
right.
politics without, you know, it ending up in, you know, in a fist fight or worse.
Right.
But I also think there was a really interesting study that was released like in the last month that talked about how what we read online often evokes a much more divisive reaction than when we hear someone
yeah.
say it or someone
yeah.
actually says it to us, which may go a long way to explain why some of these flames happen online, especially on,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'm dating myself, aren't I? I called it a flame. but, you know, so when you have these big, you know, huge nasty fights on Facebook and some of these other social media platforms, it would go a long way to explaining why that happens so easy and becomes so incendiary, whereas, you know, people can still seem to be able to get together and have discussions without it, you know, ending up in fisticuffs, as it were.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're becoming, and I hate the isolation, but it's turned into such a scary landscape right now. You know, another school shooting. I mean, it's insane how often this is happening. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that Congress is pretty much owned by the NRA. So nothing's going to get done, at least not yet. You know, and it's just really scary and upsetting because I remember never thinking about this when my kids were in school. That stuff didn't happen.
Yeah.
And if it did, it didn't happen often. You know, if somebody shot up a school, it was big news and it was something talked about for weeks. Now, we finish talking about one, we're talking about the next one. It's
yeah.
crazy, you know? And it's a gun issue, and I don't know how much of it is a mental health issue. Obviously, if you really want to do serious harm to other people, there is something wrong or lacking or missing. But the gun laws, I don't know. I mean, I've always been very pro-gun, you know, not in a, I need to have the, you know, the best military gear money can buy, but, you know, I lived on a farm. I've, you know, lived with hunters. I understand how that works. So for that reason, I was pro-gun, but now it's like, maybe our country is just too stupid. That none of
we've proven we can't handle it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that people want a magic bullet. They want, you know, no pun intended, they want a simple answer to something that really is not simple at all.
Yeah.
We are probably one of the most belligerent and violent cultures on the face of the planet.
Oh, definitely.
And we don't want anyone to be telling us how to do anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have got to find, I mean, and that's part of what kind of spurred the community question that I posed today. We have got to find a way to come together and find some things to agree on. You know, I really don't understand why people feel it is so important that they have the right to you know, to own assault rifles. I really don't. You know?
Yeah, I don't either.
I just don't understand that, you know, because I can is not, you know, I mean, that this isn't a very good answer, or because I should be able to, you know, I mean, why do you need one, you know?
Right.
You know, I mean, sure. I mean, if you're a gun enthusiast, there's no doubt they're fun to shoot.
Yeah.
But the average person does not need to own one.
No. Especially in a female.
Well, but I mean, but anyone, you know, I mean, why do they need to own one? And the fact that they're willing to go to the wall, some people are willing to go to the wall for the right to own one, despite the fact that, you know, that people are using these guns and things like bump stocks and some of the other, you know, high velocity weapons. They're willing to go to the wall for that, even though, you know, so far this year, how many children have been killed with, you know, in school shootings? You know, what is that number now? Like 25 or something?
Oh, I think it's more than that, actually, because there were like 15, you know, the other day.
Well, there have been 18 school shootings. Only a few of those involved active shooters. 17 or 18 was the number of people killed in Parkland. I don't think it's not more than two dozen. But I mean, but one is too many.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
One, in my opinion, one incident of, you know, of a child being killed by, I mean, you know, obviously this person is mentally, you know, I mean, nobody that goes and says, okay, I'm just going to go kill a bunch of people is, you know, they're not right in the head, because that's
not,
but you know.
The only thing that worries me about that is the stigma on people that do suffer from mental illnesses. I mean, there are differences. And we've got to be careful with that narrative, you know, because it's not, oh, they're all just crazy. I mean, there are different varying degrees, but yeah.
Absolutely. Someone with a mental illness needs to have a gun. They're not even.
I agree.
I mean, there's other concerns, but for me, the thing is, I understand the reason to have a gun. I understand the reason to have more than one gun. I don't understand the reason to have an assault rifle. You see what I'm saying? It's like,
I don't need to
take away your right to have. I mean, but maybe we do need to say, listen, because we have some people, and people, you know, not everyone who, you know, performs these acts is mentally unstable. There's also, you know, unstable in the, or what we would consider unstable in the moment. It doesn't even mean they've been diagnosed with any kind of mental illness. And, you know, dissociative disorder can happen to anybody, from what I've been told, who's just isolated enough. And again, like Star said, you know, the internet can bring people together in some regards, but it isolates them more in others. So when you have this rampant anger and this continuing isolation, you know, is it just that we're all going a little crazy, or is it that if one, you know, if enough people are harmful with a gun, should we say then, okay, you know what, we need to follow Australia's lead. They, you know, they said, okay, you know what? We can't have nice things. None of you can have guns. Sorry. Too bad. Get over it. And I'm thinking, you know, as I said, I've always been very pro-gun. I used to own a gun. But maybe we're just at a point as a country, have gotten to a point as a country where we just can't do it. We just can't let people have guns.
Well, but the problem with that, first of all, I mean, like what Australia did would never work in this country, I don't think. You know, I've seen a lot of this kind of commentary over the last couple of days, of course, because you always see it after there's a shooting. And,
sure.
You know, and people frequently compare, you know, try to make these comparisons with the U.S. and with other countries. And it's really kind of a flawed argument in from the get-go because, first of all, just the number and of guns and the size of this country. There are like, I saw a statistic today that said there were like 101 guns for every 100 people.
Wow.
But now, and to put that into perspective, you know, like just something like 30% of the population owns all of the guns or 25%. So one quarter of the country owns all of the guns and, you know,
right.
Or one third, even say one third of the country, and two thirds of the country doesn't own a gun at all. You know, I don't own a gun
right.
anymore. I haven't owned a gun in, you know, I don't know, 25 years.
Yeah, me neither.
So, I mean, that's a lot of guns. Even if today you said, okay, we're not going to sell any more guns.
Right.
You know, which, I mean, I think that there would be violent protests to that, but you'd never get
right.
them all. So then they'd become, you know, even more of a black, you know, you would have even more black market dealing of guns and, so, I mean, it's just, that's not really a viable solution, you know.
Right.
The only real solution is getting people to choose to, you know, to not pick up a gun. To find other ways to resolve issues, which, you know, I think you have to have a multi-pronged approach. You have to,
right.
you know, there has to be an emphasis on education. There has to be an
yeah.
emphasis on mental health and not just dealing with people that are suffering from some type of mental illness, but what is good mental health? What, you know, what creates a good, healthy community? What produces, you know, healthy citizens, you know, what is
right.
a good citizen? You know, how do you define that? And how do you help to co-create that? You know, I
right.
mean, I think right. that in a lot of ways, our country has kind of evolved into this, you know, huge sprawling mass that is on autopilot. And,
yep.
you know, it's only been in the last few years that people are really starting to wake up and smell the coffee and go, oh, well, you know, I mean, I guarantee if you went out on the street and just randomly asked people, you know, various questions that relate to the Constitution and how our government works, most of them couldn't give you the right answer if their life depended on it.
Very true.
And that's a problem, you know, because
yeah.
it's a problem. So we have a large percentage of people in this country that don't really understand how their country's government works, and therefore they don't really understand what their obligations are, what the expectations are of being a citizen.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, on one hand, it's pretty hilarious, and on the other hand, it's just absolutely horrifying.
True.
You know, but
very
as you
true.
Know, I make fun of everything, and, you know, I mean, there's a horrific, you know, hilarious irony that often makes me just want to vomit that is present in the everyday workings of our society. But I really feel like we are in a downward spiral, and if we don't get our shit together, you know, well, I mean, we won't have to worry about it, because in the end, climate change is going to get all of us, you know, because I don't
yes.
know about you, but I can't breathe underwater, nor can I survive in
yeah.
180-degree heat for very long. So.
Oh, yeah. No. No, it's not one of my skills.
Yeah, it was, like, insanely hot down here. Or, not insanely hot, but, you know, For
the time of year. Yeah.
It was startling.
It was almost 80
degrees.
It was almost 80 degrees here. I'm in the fucking mountains. It was almost 80
really?
Degrees here yesterday.
Oh my
yeah.
god.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been, the weather has been crazy. Tomorrow it's going to be in the 50s. It will rain here pretty heavily from what I've heard. And then it turns around and starts climbing back up. And next week we'll be in the 70s again. So, you know, it's got to have an effect. It's got to have an effect on everything. We already know it has an effect on animals. We know it has an effect on food. We know it has an effect on, you know, the bees that produce our food. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know,
herd.
It'd be great if it would kill the mosquitoes, but I'm like, yeah, but not the bees. You know,
exactly.
And they're in danger, and it's crazy, and the ecosystem is falling apart because of climate change. Because I have to believe that, you know, these continuous extreme weather patterns are related.
Of course they are.
Science
has pretty much proven that. I mean, people think of, you know, when you talk about global warming, they think about, oh, well, it's just getting hot, you know. And but that's not really, I mean, it's actually climate change. And what it suggests, what it portends is that we will see increasingly violent storms that will, that will occur out of their normal season. So the whole pattern is shifting on the planet. And, I mean, we're going to see, you know, large parts of our planet change dramatically, you know, and it may already be too late to prevent a lot of it. I mean, in some cases, it you know, they're pretty sure that it is too late to prevent some of it. But that doesn't mean that, you know, that it's too late overall. And I think the bigger picture here is that, you know, we have doing something or doing nothing, you know, I mean, a lot of where we've gotten to is because people have chosen to not do anything. They have chosen to not stand up or basically use their rights as a citizen and be heard. I think that, you know, I think on a number of levels, you're going to see some significant pushback over the next few years. I think that it kind of started with Me Too. You know, I mean, how long have women been in situations where they have been harassed or assaulted? And, you know, there was no recourse, you know, for a woman in that situation other than to be, you know, basically victim blamed that, you know, well, if you hadn't worn those clothes, that wouldn't have happened to you. If you weren't a woman, you wouldn't have these problems. Yeah, well, I've kind of realized that. But the Me Too movement has really kind of shifted things in a way that is really kind of extraordinary. And I think that you're going to see, you know, whether things really change as a result of that. I mean, obviously there have been some changes. You know, even the House and Senate are revising the whole process for you know, anyone that feels that they have been harassed. Which, I mean, if you're familiar with this at all, I mean, the process that they have to go through to file any kind of sexually based complaint is extraordinary. I mean, it takes 6 months before you can even file a complaint, which certainly needs to change. Yeah, I mean, there's like a friggin' 60-day review period. Then you have to go through counseling. Then you have to go through the whole thing again. And then if you still want to, you can actually file a complaint. It's pretty extraordinary. So definitely some things are changing, but I think also that people are realizing that, you know, that having a voice and using that voice actually can have an effect. So I think, you know, it's very possible that this latest shooting may spur some of that change. If you look at all of the resistance movements that are happening, I mean, it's pretty huge, Now, granted, you got a lot of different people who are resisting for a whole lot of different reasons, and whether you can get all those people on, you know, to agree on 10 things is anybody's guess. But I think we can all agree that, you know, that racism is bad. Dead children,
yep,
definitely bad. You know, I don't know anybody that likes dead children except some freaks on a 4chan station. You know, I mean, discrimination is bad. I mean, you know, we have some core issues that I think that we can pretty much all agree on. How we implement that, it's a whole other thing. And I just want to do a real quick shout out. If you have not heard of the Gaia Project or Resistance Live, which is Elizabeth Cronus, McLaughlin, I think. If you have not heard of her, you should make yourself familiar with her, because she has been doing a live video broadcast 5 days a week since Trump was inaugurated. And the Gaia Project is basically educating women in the ways of leadership and encouraging them to run for office. And they also have an entire list of women who are going to be running in the upcoming primaries and in the general election in November. So if you want to support women candidates, that is the ticket. And I've been very impressed. She was a lawyer, a practicing lawyer, and I think even taught law. And her broadcasts are pretty great, and she explains the things that have happened in the week, and it's just pretty cool. I've been following her, and I've found it to be both helpful, informational, and even a little inspirational. So,
cool. Awesome.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot to think about. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of organizing to get done. A lot of things need to happen, that's for sure.
Well, I think everybody needs to realize that no matter how small you think whatever it is that you're doing or thinking about doing is, it can truly be that ripple in the pond. And if other people see that you're doing this, they may think, hey, I can do that too. It's just kind of like, you know, the whole thing of, you know, I mean, I'm a big door holder. Like if somebody's walking into a business and I will almost always hold the door for them just because I was taught that it was polite and good manners. You know, there've been a number of studies done that when people see somebody do something like that, even if they aren't the recipient of it, that if it resonates with them, then they're like 10 times more likely to hold the door for someone the next place that they go into, even if they weren't the person that got the door held open for them. And so I think that when you do positive things, things that are helpful or encouraging or inspiring, then it encourages other people to do similar things. And you may not even be aware that, you know, that somebody saw you picking up trash that some asshole threw out a car window, but because somebody saw you do it, you know, then it makes them more likely to either not throw trash out the window or maybe even pick up trash that someone else has thrown out. So I think there's a lot more, you know, our actions definitely have an effect. And I think probably the greatest thing about the Me Too, the whole movement, is that, you know, because one person spoke up and spoke up forcefully, and then other women said, oh, God, that happened to me too, you know, that then it was, you know, it was like the American equivalent of the Arab Spring where women were concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether, you know, let's hope it has more sustaining ability than Arab Spring did, but, you know, I mean, I think that that's encouraging, and I think that, you know, we need to keep the momentum going. So, you know, do something.
Yeah.
Get involved in things. You know, find out who your neighbors are. Talk to them. Find out what do they do? What do they believe? You know, you don't know until you really talk to people. You know, and if it all goes wrong, you know, have a roll of gaff tape. You know, it's very simple.
Yeah. Wow.
So on to lighter subjects. How are things going with Mystic South? Tell us about that.
Well, they're going pretty good. You know, we're still submissions for both workshops. Well, actually for everything, vendors, workshops, and papers. Which for those of your listeners who don't know, PAPERS is stands for Pagan and Polytheist Educational Research Symposium, and it is the academic portion of our programming, and basically we're looking for submissions. They're related to anything pagan that has to do with practice, science, history, culture, and in relation to other faiths and institutions and systems. So we're looking for academics for that. We know that there are a lot of pagan academics out there, and we want them to submit papers and come and present them and, you know, educate the rest of us ignorant fools. Ryan Dennison is our point person for that, and he did an amazing
Yay.
Job last year.
Yep.
And so we're really looking forward to seeing what we end up with this year. We have been getting a lot of regular workshop submissions, which is good. A lot of vendor submissions. The only downside to all of that is probably not everyone is going to get accepted, because we only have so many spots and we only have so many days. Let's see, what else is going on? So we've got our headliners, and I should mention that Desperate House Witches, of course, is going to be is going to be there and going to be doing a live broadcast from from the conference, and we're excited about that. And
so are we.
Me too.
And I'll be rounding up people, you know, as sacrifice for the show.
Awesome!
Yay!
Make them cute.
So our headliners for this year are John Beckett.
John Beckett.
Yes, John Beckett. We love Mr. Beckett.
We do.
He is one of the sanest voices in paganism. And he's for those
definitely
of you who don't know,
he's a calm one. He's very calm.
He's very reasoned and balanced in his approach. But he's a druid, and he's from the he lives in Texas, and we're delighted to have him. Evo Dominguez.
Yes.
He's such a sweet person.
I love him. I really do. And I was thrilled that he agreed to come and be one of our headliners this year. You know, he's associated with maybe a founding member of the Assembly of the Sacred Wheel, and they're up in the Delaware area, and he's got a number of books that have been published, and he always has a unique perspective on things, and I just love him. I can't say enough good things about him. We also Mama Gina, who's a singer-songwriter.
She's been on the show. She's great. Yeah. We love Mama Gina.
Yeah, so we're having her, and then we're also going to have the Night Travelers.
Yay!
they're going to host the open stage night again on on Friday night. And so if you know anyone who is, you know, who would want to, you know, consider performing like a song or two, then they definitely should come to Mystic South and do so for the open stage night. So if you have something you want to try out new, if you're a musician and you have something new you want to try out, this would be a perfect place to do that.
Yeah. I'm bringing a professional drummer with me, so we will have backup. So that'll be good.
You know, so I mean, things are coming together really nicely this year. You know, is far less work than last year was, because last year was the first year and we were still, you know, still sorting out everything. And I think this year the prep has been a lot easier because we already have a framework to build off of. We don't have to rebuild the wheel each year, so that's pretty great.
Right. Oh yeah,
I think we'll have more people this year.
Which
always makes me a little nervous because I don't want it to ever be too big. You know, I don't ever want it to be like the Pantheon of the South. That's terrifying. That makes my tummy hurt when I think about that. which Pantheon, as you know, is going on this weekend in the lovely city of San Jose in California. Number of people that I know are at Pantheon this year. So we are geared up. We are excited. You know, we haven't announced what panels we're going to do yet because we're really kind of waiting to see exactly what we have in the way of workshops and what do people want to hear about on panels. So I would encourage anybody that's listening that has an interest, that plans to be at Mystic South, if there's some particular issue that you would like to hear discussed on a panel, we want to hear from you. You can send us an email. If you go to our website, which is mystic-south.com, you know, you can send us, you can contact us from our website. The easiest and quickest response would probably be if you went to our Facebook page, which we have Mystic South, and then we also have Mystic South Conference 2018. So there's the main page, and then there's also an event page. And you can post a question on either of those sites, and we will do our best to respond. For everybody who has already submitted, we've been getting some people asking us, when will they know, when will they know? Well, we will not make final decisions on workshop submissions, on anything that's been submitted. There will be no, final decision made until March 1st when submissions close. So you can ask, but the answer is still going to be the same. We don't know yet. We won't know until, I'm going to say by March 15th, we will probably announce, or let people know whether they got in or didn't get in. And also because we're super nice people, anybody who's submitted and doesn't get in, we will extend early bird prices too. So if you submitted and you don't get in, we don't want you to be sad. We want you to still come play with us. So you will be able to register via a special link that we will send you for the early bird prices, so you don't have to end up paying the regular price, because we love everyone and we want everyone to come and be a part of our conference.
Yeah. So nice.
Fabulous.
I know, isn't it? It's so unlike me. It must be Marla.
Yeah. Just in case anybody didn't hear that, let me repeat it for the hard of hearing. So submissions close on the 1st of March. If you are interested in making a submission, you have until March 1st. Bear in mind, February is a short month, and it's already the 15th. So you heard it here. Get it in. You're running out of time. You have less than 2 weeks. I like to push
Very
it a
good.
Little bit. Thank you. Well, because, there's certain touchstones that, you have to repeat. It's only fair. Sometimes people go to the bathroom or get a drink during the show. I want to make sure everybody hears it. So I'm very much looking forward to this. I love it. We love being there. And last year's conference was great. I know this year's is going to be even more spectacular. And I'm very excited because Evo has already agreed to be on the show Friday night from the conference. So yay!
I'm good. So I don't even have to. I don't even have to like find something to bribe him with,
No, I've already asked, and yes, there will be goodies. I will bring goodies for the guests, like I usually do. There will be fruit and cheese, and whatever delicacies I can find that afternoon before the show. So there will be wine, there will be cheese, there will be fruit. I will have goodies as I always do.
Usually people are pretty good about talking about, they're usually pretty comfortable talking about whatever it is that they're passionate about. So
absolutely.
I'm sure we can probably, lure Mr. Beckett to come and speak on the show for a tiny bit, and and who knows who else we can round up.
Of course, if time allows, of course, we want you and Heather Green, and if Ryan has time, whoever can get away for a few minutes on the staff would be fabulous as well. We always look forward to talking to you and having you on, and just spending time with you is always fantastic. So, I'm sure it will go quite well.
Well, this year we're going to have you upstairs in one of the rooms on the flower hall. So it'll be easier and more accessible, and, we can just grab people as I'll just stand outside, and when I see someone that I think you might be interested in hearing from, I'll just lure them in and then shut the door so they can't get out.
We'll pay you in cookies.
Cookies? No, I want beer. Guinness.
Okay.
Guinness is
my kind of call.
Guinness is my commerce.
All right. I will make sure. This year, I will make sure that in addition to the wine, because we have to have wine, that I will also be serving Guinness this year. I will add it to the list of things to pick up. You will be supplied with Guinness. Have no fear.
Excellent.
Do you like black and tan?
Oh, a black and tan? Is that what you asked? They're okay. My favorite is just the draft Guinness. That has become my absolute favorite, because and plus most places you can get it pretty much anywhere. So I think I'm coming in a day early. for this year, and I'll be a little bit better prepared. I wasn't quite as well prepared last year, just because I had too many. My ducks once again were not quite in a row. They were just running with scissors.
Are you going to be in on Wednesday or Thursday?
I'll be coming in on. I'll be at the hotel on Thursday.
Yeah, I'll be in too.
Yeah. Well, the meet and greet, and I should probably point this out too. There will be a meet and greet. There's really not any programming going on Thursday.
Right.
You know, if you want to, you know, stop by registration and check in, and we'll be doing registration from probably, I don't know, I think we started last year at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and then and then it kept registration open until like 7 or 8. And then the Mother Grove Suite is going to host the meet and greet for the wild that the Wild Hunt is throwing on Thursday night.
Yay!
Awesome.
So that'll be in a suite upstairs, which, you know, we'll have that posted so people know where to go, and it'll be in the program as well. Which last year it worked out great. I mean, people, you know, they opened the room up at, I don't know, whatever time. And then so people could just come and go as they wanted. And it was a lot of fun. Everybody had a great time. You know, it was an opportunity to, you know, to everybody to kind of just mingle and get, you know, and have a glass of wine, and you know, there was all kinds of food. So yeah, it was a good way to start things off.
It was great.
So.
It was great. We had a lot of fun. People are just awesome. The hotel was awesome. Everything was fantastic. I'm very happy that we're going back to the same place.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I know that, is it IGH that took over, took it back over, that they had a bunch of renovations planned for the hotel, and so hopefully we won't have any of the kind of problems like we had last year. Knock on wood. We're sifting damn wood. Oh, here it is.
yeah, I just did too.
I'm gonna do it just in case.
I think once you've had all of those problems, it's probably fortuitous that it happened the way it did, because that kind of, you know, psychologically clears the way. And if anything happens, we're prepared. We've been through it before. It's not going to be a surprise. And you know, pagans are a fairly rugged group. Most of us have done a good quantity of camping. So I think we're going to be fine. It'll be great.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and the hotel loves us because we were so helpful and cooperative, and we gave them good press. They think we're wonderful. We're easy to work with. And, you know, I mean, we're booked into that hotel for the next, you know, couple of years. So I feel pretty good about it. I mean, you know, we did have some people that thought it was a little spendy, which, you know, if you eat in a nice hotel like that, you know, it is going to be spendy, and there's really not much that you can do about, you know, there's not much that we can do about that. But the facility itself is great, and you know, I mean, that is one of the downsides to doing a conference, is it's you know, it's a lot more expensive for the participants and for the organizers than it is to do a festival. But no matter what the weather is, we're not going to get rained on, you know, or have to deal with, you know, with any of the things you would have to deal with an outdoor festival. And and plus,
true.
I mean, the focus is really, you know, I mean, you know, we want people to have fun, but we also really want to promote, you know, the educational aspect of it, which I forgot to mention. One of the things that is very exciting is that Cherry Hill is going to be doing their annual retreat during Mystic South. And they'll be doing some presentations, which will be open to the to everyone that comes to Mystic South. So they'll have a couple of class blocks each day that will
Great.
Be their people doing presentations, but that will be open to attendees of Mystic South. So we're really happy about that. Because we're also happy, you know, it makes us happy to be able to support Cherry Hill, because they, what they do is so vitally important, and I think that, you know, just like the Wild Hunt, I think it's super important that, you know, that we support them. You know, I mean, we do have some really great things in the pagan community that are nonprofit and are worth supporting, and then there's also what is the name of the seminary in Atlanta? It's the ATC Seminary. Hang on, let me just. I should have had that pulled up.
That's okay.
No worries.
It's the Wolfenstein Theological Seminary. And they are based in Atlanta, and they are also going to be in attendance. So which is very cool. But you know, I think we have to support. I mean, if you're a pagan, you should definitely support the Wild Hunt. Love them or hate them, you should still support them. You
Absolutely.
Can you know. Write them a grudge check if you hate them, because I believe that they perform, you know, that the service that they perform is vital. The
Absolutely.
new Alexandrian Library. Excuse me, I have to get this cat off of me. Stop. a cat just walk up on me and go. And like rub its face all over my mind. But the new Alexandrian Library is an amazing project that was built from the ground up, which that's Evo's group and Assembly of the Sacred Wheel that managed to pull that together. I've been there. Every pagan should do a pilgrimage. To the library, and it's worth the effort. But I also think, you know, Cherry Hill is a pagan run institution. We should support it.
Absolutely.
So
I totally agree. It's part of building community. See, this all ties back in.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you know, and who knows what ripple I just caused in the pond by even mentioning it, because, you know, I mean, obviously the people that started all of those things, you know, whether what it is now is what their intention was, something inspired them to move in that direction. And so every time that we do something that, you know, that we believe in, that's a good and positive thing, it inspires people. And I think that's really important.
It is. I hope that is the result, that people are inspired and actively seeking, you know, discussion and ways to improve pretty much the lot for us all, you know. I think there's a lot to be built and there's a lot to be done, and we need to bolster each other. We need to, you know, the Me Too movement really, I hope, extends to the pagan community in the sense of building places where people do come together, and find a space for commonality, because so many times in the pagan path you have these groups all doing this crazy infighting, and we really have to stop that, or at least limit it down some, and come together and realize that, you know, we don't all have to agree on the right way to, I don't know, cast a circle, whatever the fuck it is. You know, the point is that we're all on a path that, you know, to a lot of people in our surroundings is weird or strange. And I think in our difference, we really need to bolster each other up, like you said, and support each other. And that is really the essence of building community. You know, when you see someone's space, you know, that you haven't seen in a year, and I'm looking forward to these moments many times over in July, where I'll see somebody that I haven't seen since last July, and how have you been? So good to see you. Maybe we can get some time to talk this year, because, you know, last year it was so great, and there were just so many people that I wanted to talk to, and nary a minute for any of them, and I apologize to them profusely, and I hope to do better this year, and that we actually do get to sit down and talk. And that's actually for a lot of people that I met last year. So I'm really excited about this. And I have to thank you guys and you know, everybody who's part of the staff of Mystic South and the Wild Hunt, and for the wonderful thing you've put together with Mystic South. It's just a fantastic conference, and it really is an important, important thing to have.
I believe that. I mean, we wouldn't be doing it if I didn't believe it. And I have to tell you that I have some of the most amazing partners in Mystic South that anybody could have. Heather Green, Marla Robinson, Gypsy Teague,
awesome.
Stacey
yeah.
Pissaros. And Ryan Dennison are absolutely, they are the best. They are stellar at the jobs that they do, and we could not do it without each and every one of them, and all the people who volunteer and lend a hand. It wouldn't happen without them.
Yeah.
So I can't say enough good things about them. Before we go, I just want to give you two more shout outs. One is, if you're in the Asheville area tomorrow at 5 o'clock, we are doing an Ask a Witch roundtable at the Raven and Crone. So if you have a witchcraft, paganism related question, burning question that you need the answer to, come to the Ask a Witch, and you can ask a full panel of witches. You all have broadcast live from the Raven and Crone,
yep.
So you know what that's about.
And then
in March, I will be with Byron at Sacred Space up in Hunt Valley, Maryland.
Yay!
And,
oh, wow.
So,
that's awesome.
So burning questions about Mystic South, if you're at Sacred Space and you have burning questions about Mystic South, feel free to buy me a beer, and I'll tell you the answer.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And thank you for being, you know, in support of Mystic South. I mean, y'all are
absolutely.
As much free advertising as you do for us. You're basically, you are a sponsor of Mystic South. So
we're happy to. It's a wonderful conference. We do mention it, even when you're not here, we do talk about Mystic South. I'm always like, well, we're going to Mystic South. Everybody come and see us. You know, it's a great conference. You're doing a great service to our community, and I can't thank you enough. And I appreciate you so much. And we're, after the show, we'll talk about your next appearance, and I'll be in touch with you probably in the next 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, I love you both.
Love you too. Star Bustamante, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, thank you both. All right. Bye.
Love you.
Have a wonderful night.
Such a great conference. Such a great woman. Such a great staff of people. They are just incredible, incredible. It's a great conference. I encourage everybody, Mystic South. It's www.mystic-south.com. It's a great conference if you're in the South. It really is the event of the summer. You got to come. It's brilliant. It's a great hotel. The facility is fabulous. The staff is fabulous. All of the presenters are fabulous. The musicians are fabulous. It's a can't miss deal. You got to come.
Absolutely. And speaking of Byron, she will be on next week. So.
Yes, she will. The amazing Byron Ballard. Yes. Next week. Very excited. Very excited.
All right,
sis. Wrap it, Mama.
All right. We love you guys. We're so glad you're here and you made it. Wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, we appreciate y'all. You have a great weekend. I plan on going and kicking my feet up and relaxing and hopefully seeing my sister on Sunday.
We love you guys.
Love ya. Bye.